today as we come to the table.
God wants to encourage you. Your family, your earthly family may reject you, but I never will. And I will be with you till the end of time. You are one of mine. You're in my heavenly family. And not only are you in my heavenly family, I'm going to use you for my glory. And something else we need to grasp out of today is how God forms his servants. Because again, when it comes to rejection and it comes to these feelings of being outcast, maybe some of you are asking yourself, why have I been an outcast my whole life? Why have I been the one that's been rejected my whole life? God wants you to realize that it's in the midst of the hardships and the rejections that God uses to make you who he wants you to be.
Families can be a complicated thing. Whether you have a good earthly family or not, it can be a difficult thing to navigate. Thankfully, God has adopted you into his heavenly family. God wants you to know that he accepts you, he chooses you, and he will never mistreat you or leave you. Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary Knoxville. In today's message, Pastor Mark will recognize that families can be a touchy subject and a difficult thing for most people. Pastor Mark will teach that God uses family trauma or even healthy families to grow us spiritually and to give us a greater understanding of how much he loves us and cares for us. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Judges, chapter 11, as he begins his message, Rejected by Men, Yet Called by God.
Chapter 11, verses 1 through 11. And I want to read that together first, and then we'll pray over it, and we'll jump into it and look at what God has for us today in the life of Jephthah. Notice what it says there in verse 1. It says, Now Jephthah the Gileadite was a mighty man of valor, but he was the son of a harlot. And Gilead begat Jephthah. Gilead's wife bore sons, and when his wife's sons grew up, they drove Jephthah out. And they said to him, You shall have no inheritance in our father's house, for you are the son of another woman. And then Jephthah fled from his brothers and dwelt in the land of Tob. And worthless men banded together with Jephthah and went out raiding with him. And it came to pass after a time that the people of Ammon made war against Israel. And so it was when the people of Ammon made war against Israel that the elders of Gilead went to get Jephthah from the land of Tob. And they said to Jephthah, Come and be our commander and that we may fight against the people of Ammon. So Jephthah said to the elders of Gilead, Did you not hate me and expel me from my father's house? Why have you come to me now when you're in distress? And the elders of Gilead said to Jephthah, That is why we've turned again to you now, that you may go with us and fight against the people of Ammon and be our head over all the inhabitants of Gilead. So Jephthah said to the elders of Gilead, If you take me back home to fight against the people of Ammon, and the Lord delivers them to me, shall I be your head? And the elders of Gilead said to Jephthah, The Lord will be a witness between us if we do not do according to your words. And then Jephthah went with the elders of Gilead, and the people made him head and commander over them. And Jephthah spoke all his words before the Lord at Mizpah. Let's pray. Father, thank you, God, for your faithfulness to Jephthah. Lord, we see a man today who was despised and rejected. Lord, even as you were despised and rejected. And there aren't many comparisons between you and Jephthah other than this. Lord, he was one that his brothers rejected, and they didn't even realize they were rejecting one of their future rulers and the one that would deliver them from their enemies. And God, we see in Jephthah today a man who not only experienced rejection, he was a man who was shunned because of his background, because of his upbringing, because of even his parentage. And Lord, he was an outcast. And there are some here who feel like they're outcasts, and they feel rejected. Lord, even by their own family, they feel rejected, even as Jephthah was. And so I pray, God, that you would encourage us and you would encourage them. For anyone that feels this way, as they see the life of Jephthah, that you are able to take a man like this, God, who was despised and rejected by his own. And Lord, use him for your glory, to mold and shape him and to be faithful to him, God, to not only rescue him, but to use him for your name's sake. And Father, I just pray you'd open your word to us. I pray that you would now be the teacher. By the power of your Holy Spirit, you would teach us. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I've entitled today, Rejected by Men, Yet Called by God. And I don't always announce the title. Sometimes I just start into the study. But I wanted to announce the title today because that sums up the entire section, really, of Jephthah's life. He was a man rejected by men, but a man received by God and used by God in great ways. And some of you, that's exactly where you are. You feel like you're an outcast. You feel rejected by men. You feel left out, even maybe from your own family. Maybe your own parents rejected you. Your own brothers and sisters rejected you. Then you know what Jephthah went through. And that is what today is really all about. And I'll say this, you know, maybe not everyone has been totally rejected by their family or whatever the case might be, the way that Jephthah was. But probably everyone in this room has felt rejected at some time or another in their life. And if you have ever felt rejected, and I know you have, then this story is for you because God is going to use this to minister to you about how faithful he is to take those who are rejected by men and not only save them if they will turn to him, but make them warriors for God. And again, even as we said, Jesus was the example of being despised and rejected and then received and used. Jephthah is another example of one that was despised and rejected by his own family. And as I was thinking about this, it's interesting the timing of getting into chapter 11 here. Some of you probably felt a little bit of that rejection. You got with family that maybe rejected you years ago, maybe because of your faith, maybe because of some other reason. And you felt despised, rejected, all the other feelings that can be there. And God wants to encourage you, your family, your earthly family may reject you, but I never will. And I will be with you till the end of time. You are one of mine. You're in my heavenly family. And not only are you in my heavenly family, I'm going to use you for my glory. And something else we need to grasp out of today is how God forms his servants. Because again, when it comes to rejection and it comes to these feelings of being an outcast, maybe some of you are asking yourself, why have I been an outcast my whole life? Why have I been the one that's been rejected my whole life? God wants you to realize that it's in the midst of the hardships and the rejections that God uses to make you who he wants you to be. Sadly, it is hardship that molds us into the character that God needs for us to be used in his kingdom. I wish it could happen by just good times, but the reality is it doesn't always happen by good times. It happens by hardship, which is not often fun, and probably the worst of all is rejection. Especially when it's rejection by your own family and maybe even worse by your own parents. But God allows this to produce the righteousness in you and to produce the character in you and to produce the person in you that God wants you to be so he can use you for his kingdom. It's interesting, as I was doing this, it popped in my brain to look up diamonds. And so I looked up diamonds, and most of you know how diamonds are formed. Diamonds are not formed on soft cushions of rest and ease. Diamonds are formed by very high temperature and high pressure. As a matter of fact, the formation of a natural diamond is high pressure, high temperature. According to those in the know, these conditions occur in limited zones of the Earth's mantle, about 90 miles below the surface. They're eventually pushed to the top as different types of Earth movement or eruptions or other things happen. But they start about 90 miles below the Earth's surface where the temperatures get to at least 2,000 degrees Fahrenheit. Intense pressure. Intense heat, and from that intense pressure and heat comes this beautiful diamond that is one of the most sought-after stones in all the earth, one of the most valuable stones in all the earth, from this pressure and this intense heat. Guys, you have to realize this is what God will do in your life to make you that diamond. God's desire is to make you that diamond, which means this. God not only will allow it, God will send you through intense pressure. God will send you through intense heating moments of your life in order to mold you and shape you and to bring you to what he wants you to be in that valuable diamond for his glory. And here's the sad news. There's no other way to get there except by this extreme pressure and this extreme heat. You can't become a diamond in God's kingdom with the character that God wants you to have by having a life of ease. And so when you're saying, well, God, why is it? Why was I born in the family I'm born in? Why did they reject me? Why am I so hated? Why have my friends turned away? Why has life been so hard from the beginning all the way up till now? God says, because I wanted something special for you. I didn't want you to be like everyone else. I didn't want you to be just another rock laying on the ground. I wanted to make you a beautiful gem that when people saw you, they would see the glory of God reflecting and sparkling my glory, God would say to you. And so you may feel like, why have I been left out? God, you haven't loved me. God, you've rejected me. No, it might be the very things you've gone through God did so he could make you something beautiful. And rather than looking at God and saying, God, why? We look at God, we should be saying, God, I get it. It's not easy, but I get it. And the hard part is submitting to the Lord to allow him to do that. So understand, when you have those extreme pressures and extreme heat, God is doing something beautiful in your life. But here's something else I found interesting about diamonds. And I didn't know this until I began to do a little research for today. Another way that scientists have seen diamonds form, and often form rather quickly, is by meteor or asteroid strikes. If a meteor large enough or an asteroid strikes the Earth, and there's only been a few throughout world history, asteroids very large, but a lot of meteors striking the Earth, when they go to those sites of an asteroid that has struck the Earth, they have found diamonds on the surface where the asteroids have struck. By the way, if you ever go to one of those sites, you might want to look around real good and see if they missed any, right? But why is that? Because when an asteroid strikes the Earth, it strikes with such violence and such pressure and such enormity and such shock to the system of the ground, such heat is generated that the product of it are these diamonds that take very intense heat and very intense pressure in order to be able to be formed. I guess here's something else I think that God wants you to know, and that is this. Another way that God forms his diamonds is through the sudden impact of something that is so shocking and so powerful, you can't believe that God's hand could be in it because it seems devastating. But it might be that God has allowed an asteroid of difficulties to strike your life because he's molding the beauty of a diamond in your heart. But when it happens, what do we think? God, you don't love me. God, you've left me. How could you take my husband? How could you take my child? How could you allow my family to fall apart? How could this happen in my life? And God says, I am doing something you don't understand. It is so deep and it is so rich. You may not even fully understand it until you're in the kingdom. I'm making something beautiful out of you for my glory. And I'll tell you, I don't like the trials any more than you do. I don't like the pressure. I don't like the heat. I don't like the asteroid strikes that leave me stunned by the sudden shock of something that's entered my life that I didn't see coming from any direction. I don't like that at all. But God says, I've allowed that in your life, Mark, so that you can shine for me. And God is allowing that in your lives so you can shine for him. There is a purpose, a great purpose. Now, the reason that God does this, again, is because he could just leave us as an everyday boring rock. But he says, I've got something special for my kingdom. And this is neat to me when it comes to the Lord. It's not just down here that God does it so that we can shine for him down here. Because I oftentimes think I don't have enough time for God to strike me with enough asteroids for me to shine for anything, right? I feel like I'm running out of time and I started too late. But God thinks long term. It's not just God's molding and shaping he does down here. It's what God is doing for eternity. And we're going to see today that this is exactly what happened to Jephthah. He grew up feeling the heat and pressure of being despised by his own family, rejected by his own brothers and family, and was struck really with what I'll call the asteroid of rejection. Something that came out of the blue, something shocking, something horrible, something more devastating than you could ever imagine. Listen, asteroids change the surface of the earth. When asteroids strike, one struck in Russia not too long ago. You may have heard about it. I don't know if it was officially an asteroid or if it was a meteor, how that breaks up in size. I'm not a scientist, so I don't know. But I know that it wiped out some enormous area, just a huge area, stripped the mountains, the trees. It wiped everything flat. When an asteroid strikes your life, it'll rip everything in its path out of the way. It will strip you clean of everything that seems normal, everything that you depended on. But God has a reason for it. He's going to rebuild something that's brand new and make it beautiful. And Jephthah needed to learn this. And I think that we as believers need to learn this as well, because hopefully we won't be struck with too big of an asteroid. But the bottom line is, you're going to have hardship. You're going to have pressure. You're going to have heat. You're going to have rejection. You're going to have asteroid type issues crash into your life, but you need to know they're for a purpose. And Jephthah is about to find that out. Let's get into it. Look what it says in verse 1. It says, now Jephthah, the Gileadite, was a mighty man of valor. Note that. But he was the son of a harlot. What a contrast. And Gilead begat Jephthah. What a contrasting verse this is. And I think this is interesting because what we see here is we see God's viewpoint of Jephthah in the first part of the verse, and then we see the world's viewpoint of Jephthah in the second part of the verse. And both are true, but God's viewpoint is what will stand. Notice first of all what it says here, just that Jephthah was a mighty man of valor. This is the same wording that was used for Gideon, by the way. Gideon was also the outcast of the family, so to speak. He was the youngest of the family and outcast even by his own father to the degree that he feared his father in destroying the altar of Baal that his father had set up. But Jephthah is conceived by God as a mighty man of valor. And this is impressive to me because it goes on and gives the contrast of saying, yes, he's a mighty man of valor, but he's a son of a harlot. How many of you feel like the son or daughter of a harlot this morning? Now, maybe not your mother. I'm not talking about your actual parentage. I'm making a point. You feel like your life has been so destructive or so ugly that it's in that same vein of, you know what? I'm the outcast of the family. I'm the outcast of the world. I'm the one that doesn't really fit in. I'm the one that has all the bad heritage, so to speak, and maybe you feel you've been treated that way. This was Jephthah. Can you imagine growing up in the Jephthah's family? I was trying to imagine this morning. You know, you try to imagine, and I don't know what child you were in your family or how many kids were in your family or whether you were an only child, but I know being the fourth and having two older brothers and a sister, just the amount of you know, being picked on that goes on in that situation. And I was trying to imagine what it would have been like for Jephthah with all these brothers. They had large families in that day, as you know, multiple kids. I mean, everybody was a Duggar back in that day. That was not unusual. It was the norm, okay? And so imagine being the one Duggar that was the son of a harlot. And the rest of the family turns on you. And all of his brothers, you don't belong here. You're nothing. You're not a part of us. You're not getting to play with them. Being left out of all the family events. No doubt the parents trying to comfort him, his dad trying to comfort him, but the kids making his life miserable. What would that have been like? This was Jephthah. It was quite a blight on your record to be the son of a harlot. And so this is what he grew up with. But I love this because although he grew up with that and he grew up with all the rejection and all the abuse and all the mockery that came in the family that he was in, look how God sees him. It says, but God saw him as a mighty man of valor. Listen, you may have grown up in a family where you were rejected and made fun of by all of your family. If you will let God work in your life, he will make you a mighty man or a mighty woman of valor for his kingdom. God will take that pressure and that hardship and that asteroid strike of rejection, and he will make you into something beautiful. And what I love about this is that although his brothers saw him this way, and although his family saw him this way, God saw him as a mighty man of valor because God saw his potential. And God said, Jephthah, if you'll let me use you, I'm going to use you in great ways. And God sees you for your potential. If you will let God use you, God will use you in great ways, regardless of the rejection you've experienced in your family, or regardless of the outcast life you've had, or whatever the case might be. God sees you as different. And God will work in your life. And I love this about the Lord because the entire Bible, from beginning to end, you see story after story where God takes the underdog and makes them the hero. Don't you love that? Because if you feel like the underdog, God can use you in a great way for his kingdom. Not that he can't use you if you're not the underdog, but the thing I love about it is the hope for all the underdogs. I love it when Jesus was talking to his disciples and he said, you know, the Pharisees and Sadducees were pretending to be so righteous and so holy and all their knowledge and all this. And these guys were lost. They didn't even know God. And they were the ones mocking Jesus and mocking his followers as being simpletons and not having the knowledge to understand the scripture and not knowing God and being this and all this. And the Lord stopped and prayed with his disciples. He said, Father, I thank you that you've hidden these things from the wise and prudent, the so-called wise and prudent, let me add. But you've revealed them to babes. Isn't that sweet? Just simple, plain people who choose to believe his word. And they simply stand on it and love Jesus. He says, this is my family. Lord, your brother and sisters, they're outside. They'd rejected him, remember? He says, who are my brother and my sisters and my mother? He said, those who do the will of the Father. He said, these sitting in this room, those who love God, they're my brother and my mother and my father, and my sister and all my family. I love it. So didn't matter how Jephthah felt at this time, God saw him for who he was, a mighty man of valor. The litter of the runt to the world, the dregs of the barrel to the world, but this is who God uses. And I think God uses these kind of people because number one, he alone gets the glory. You know, when God takes those of us that have these really rough paths and we're not exactly very shiny, and he does something with us, who gets the glory? God gets the glory. So I think that's one reason God does it. But another reason I think is simply because of the love and the sweetness of the Lord toward the outcast. God loves to take the one that nobody else loves, and he'll take that one and show special love to them. Isn't that sweet? That I love that. There's such a sweetness and a justice that's built into God's very character. And so if you've ever felt like a son or a daughter of a harlot, so to speak, or maybe you feel that way and you feel unloved and unusable by God today, so did Jephthah. But God had in his future a mighty man of valor. That's how God saw him, and that's how God was going to use him. Now, I love this too, because notice this. It says that Gilead begot Jephthah. Now, Gilead means rocky places, and Jephthah means he has opened. And I find the Holy Spirit here using this to make further points to drive this home. And that is that their name meanings sum up one of the main themes, I think, of what the Lord is showing us in this passage. And that is this. It is oftentimes through the rocky places of life that true character is developed. And then when that's developed, God opens doors for ministry. See, here's the hope you have. If you came from a rocky past, if you come from a sordid background, a lot of the work that God needed to do to develop in you has already been done. Now you just need to commit to him and let him shine it up. If you come from a real easy background, well, that doesn't mean God can't use you, but there's going to have to be some trials and tests you have to go through before God can use you as greatly. But don't feel like somehow you're left out if your background is harsher, because oftentimes it's the harsher backgrounds that have been more molded and ready. And then when God says it's time to save that person and to shine that person up and to turn that corner, they're used in greater ways. Listen, nobody can minister to a rejected person like those of you who have been rejected. Those of you in this room that have gone through rocky places, you can minister to other people that have gone through rocky places like nobody else can do. As a matter of fact, oftentimes it's the pampered places that they're the ones that God can't use and they never even come to God, and oftentimes get in the most trouble. They never develop any true character of life. And so God delights to take those of us that have been in rocky places and use us. Now, if you haven't been through rocky places, don't worry, you will be. Just want to encourage you. I want to be that encouraging pastor. Why? Because God is going to develop character, and he's going to develop in you what he needs to do to get the diamond that he's seeking. And remember, it's not just for down here. God's working for eternity. This is something, God's viewpoint is much different than ours. But we need to rest assured that no matter how bad it has been or what we've gone through, God never wastes anything. He uses it all. You ever wonder, God, why was I born in this family? Why was I born in a family that rejected me? Why was I born in a family that I didn't fit in? God, what am I doing here? What's going on, God? Why did this happen? Why am I the only one in my family, Lord, that even knows you? I remember praying that prayer one day. Lord, why am I the only one in the family? And I remember God speaking in my heart saying, look, I took you because I knew you'd give your life to me, and I put you in that family so they would have a chance. Guys, some of you are wondering, why am I in this family that things have gone so horrible? God is saying, because I wanted that family to see what it was like. When I'm done with you, I wanted them to see what it's like when I take someone who is treated as worthless and I make them into a diamond through all the pressure and all the heat and all the rejection. When they see the finished product, it's going to be a testimony to that family. And you might be thinking, you know, God, how come I'm the only one? Because God put you there so you can reach others. You know, you think about it. God could have put you in any family he wanted.
Thanks for being with us today here on Come to the Table with Pastor Mark Kirk. This radio program is an outpouring of the ministry happening at Calvary Knoxville in Knoxville, Tennessee. There are many intriguing stories from the book of Judges, but one of the ones that stands out to me is the story of Gideon. He put out that fleece three times to get a clearer answer or direction from God. God worked with Gideon in this, and he showed up mightily. In fact, God wanted to show what he could do with fewer people so that his ability to come through for his people would be evident. Instead of thousands to fight against their opponent, God had Gideon go up against the enemy with a few hundred men. This is how God works many times, coming in clutch at the last minute and doing things in such an unconventional way that you can only point to God for the answer and the solution. Do you have situations that have occurred in your life where you can claim that it was all God who orchestrated it all? I know I do. And I try to remember those instances so I don't forget God's goodness and his plan in it all. If you'd like to share any of those times or situations that you've experienced, would you give us a call at 865-609-1385? We'd love to hear from our listeners about how God is working in their lives. That number again to call is 865 609-1385. You can also learn more about this ministry by going to thewaymedia.net. Thanks for learning and growing from the Book of Judges here on Come to the Table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.